from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Brad on an alternative week. We're just Rach and I, because Lee's genuinely got some virus or other, and I know it's not man flu because his wife, I'm so used to saying partner, his wife actually has some sympathy for him.
Yeah, so it's real, and it's real. Love you, Lee. Yeah. Love you, Uncle Lee.
We do. So anyway, one of the most difficult person in the world to buy a present for, apparently, is Prince Charles. That's according to Camilla. Nah. Do you know what?
I mean, he's got everything. He's got all the go-to gifts. He's got millions. I'm like, you don't buy him a tie. He's got a million on. Don't buy him, you know, a money clip. That's too ostentatious. Don't buy him a pipe. He doesn't smoke. Don't buy him, you know, on and on it goes.
No, but I'll tell you what, I'm damned if I can remember the name of it, but I will find it for you. An old friend of mine has been working on one of these gadget websites since gadget websites first came out. And he said, I've got to send you this, Eric. Hope you're not offended. And it's an egg separator.
That's brilliant.
Right, so you put the egg, white and yolk, into this cup. And the cup on the front of it has an old man's face on it. And what you do is you tilt the cup and the white of the egg pours out of the man's nose.
I think that's hilarious. I'd love one of them. That's my kind of humour.
Yeah, and I think you could buy Prince Charles one of those because he'd see the humour in that as well, just for the fun of having it.
His organic eggs would be powerful through that thing too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We should get him one and send it to him.
That's not a bad idea. I'll suggest it to Kieran. That's a good idea. Yeah. But anyway, so we should have bought Prince Charles a snotty egg fixing thing.
Yes.
Cup. Yes. I tell you what, Rob would love this. Another Christmas stocking filler for blokes. Brilliant. It is a miniature amplifier that looks like a well-known brand amplifier.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah,
one with the that begins with that one.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, it's a copy of this M amp because we're not going to give free plugs, and it's even got all the buttons that work on it, like overdrive, volume controls, all the EQ settings on it, yada yada yada. But really, it's a miniature version, and it plugs into your computer. Where'd that come from? Computer, so you can play your music, but you play it back in glorious mono.
I love that idea, and you know what? For Rob, I would put the 11 on because he saw this as Spinal Tap for the first time last night.
No.
He'd never seen it before. I made him sit and watch it, and he just about vomited from laughing so hard. But sorry, Uncle Lee. He did. And I said, "This, you know, he loves that whole thing with the 11 on the amp." So we'd have to put an 11 on there for Robbie. But that's a brilliant.
No, but you've got an 11 on it. There's an 11 on it. That's got overdrive on it.
Of course, because it's overdrive. Oh my goodness! I love gadgets. I think there should be more gadgets.
We'll try and feature some in our tech program coming up shortly. This is one I think Rach should share with Rob as an alternative to the previous story, where this Chinese man has sent baskets of stuff with chocolates and cash in a fleet of luxury cars to his future wife.
I fully support this.
The total cost of this, I don't know if I can say this in... No, I'll do it in English, it's easier. £900,000 he spent. A Maserati sports car led the procession of the delivery of goods to a grand total of £8,888,888,000, whatever that is.
That's brilliant. Oh. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So
I think it's yuan, isn't it? Yuan, their currency?
Yuan. Yes, I think it is. Yen. Yan?
No, that's Japan.
Oh, is it? Well, anyway, what it is. So, it's Something that we think no man should ever do again.
I don't. I fully support this. I really encourage people to do this. I think, you know, gentlemen listeners, yes, you know how I adore you, and I think you should really take this under your wings collectively,
right,
and bestow gifts upon your future wives, and even your current wives, if you want to stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I am a future wife, and I think this is brilliant. I really do. I'm really pleased. Mind you, Rob has paid for a lot of stuff. I just hope I don't get a bill like that last lady.
Fair enough. Right, where's the, I've lost the plot now. The Duke of Kent The Duke of Wellington statue can continue in Scotland to be disrespected because some students think it's funny to put a cone, a traffic cone, on his head.
That's so unoriginal, first of all, as a joke.
Yeah.
To a statue. Second of all, it's I don't like people defacing statues. A statue is of someone's image, and it's basically a representation of that person standing there, and it's really nasty and horrible and disrespectful thing to do.
Mm.
And it's also really just a juvenile practice. And, you know, if you're going to do something, have some imagination. Not that I'm encouraging this behaviour, but a cone on his head, you know. Come on.
So, come on, Rach, what was the worst thing you did in senior school?
Honestly?
Mm.
I didn't do anything. I was really good. I don't know what happened to me in life.
So you made up for it afterwards. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I did. I really did. I made up for it in my 20s. Oh, dear, I did. But in school, I was actually really good. I was that girl who was very loud and very opinionated but terrified of getting in trouble.
Right.
So I wouldn't.
So basically, you were a goody two shoes.
I was a goody two shoes. I tried to think I was a bit of a rebel, but I really wasn't. And I towed the line. I did my work, and I was a good girl.
All right. Well, okay. I think this is a challenge then. In which case, because the students of Glasgow are not going to take any notice if we do it one way, but I think the challenge to the students of Glasgow is to stop defacing the Duke of Wellington, who's actually a really nice guy, by the way, and I'm very proud to have a book signed by him personally, which I am very, very proud of. He signed it when he was 92. I think he's 94, 95 now. But the truth is, you know, it's not funny anymore. Just putting an orange traffic cone on the Duke's head is not funny. So here's your challenge, Glasgow. Find something funny to do which doesn't contain putting a traffic cone on the top of the Duke of Wellington statue.
Right. Find another space to go to for one.
Yeah.
Do something funny there. But don't do that anymore because it's not funny or clever or brilliant. Nobody thinks it is, and it's old. It's getting old.
Mm. Moving on, we have got a very subdued programme this week, but that's because of the way this news is coming out. And this relates to some comments I've seen on your Facebook page, actually, Rach, with the guys from the gay community, pardon me, complaining that the rights problems in Russia are not being addressed. And this week, a Russian performance artist has been arrested for stripping naked. And I'm saying this with a grimace on my face.
I'm going to say it with a grimace on my face.
God, every man's about to go, close his legs together. This guy actually nailed his scrotum to the cobblestones in Red Square as a way of highlighting the problems they've got in modern Russian society. Mr. Pavlensky is 29 years old. I know nothing about the guy, but he is apparently a Russian performance artist, and he's trying to highlight the stuff that's going on. There's also, and I have to say this so carefully, there's a Russian feminist punk band called Pussy Riot. They applauded what was going on. They've been in trouble as well. But this guy now faces up to 15 days in prison for his latest escapade. And I'm going to share this and see what comes out of it a bit. the thing I would say to the guys up in Russia at the moment, there is no way can you go back in time. I just have a feeling there are some people trying to go back in time. And the thing is, when these current voters are no longer there, you're going to have to coerce the young people to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
The young people will not vote for you, and you can't put an old communist state back in when it's been completely deflowered, which it has. And you're going to end up probably in trouble like some of the other regimes that have been around the world, where the young people have taken control at the end of the day as two generations disappear. And then all of a sudden, you're the bad guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. And, you know, it's the tide's turning. It's going to happen. And there's going to be – the thing that really bothers me about this is that you've got these people – and, yeah, okay, this guy, I think the cheese might have slid off the cracker, Eric.
Mm.
You know, but nevertheless, he's an artist, and that's how he chooses to express himself, and by these installations that he does. Have you read these other things that he's done?
No, not all of them.
He's wrapped himself in barbed wire, and he's sewn his lips together. I mean, he's a very he's a hands-on artist, really.
Yeah.
Work about himself. I mean, but what he's saying, this is the way that it's going. These are people that are making themselves heard, and the fact that they are being threatened for making themselves heard makes me really angry. And I'm not going to, you know, I've already said this before, I've said it out loud, and I'll say it again, I'm not going to watch the Winter Olympics. I won't have a bar of it. And I think these governments need to be so very careful, because you're right, their voting core is now dying.
Mm. Actually,
it's an aging population, they're going to die.
You've just done it again, you sod. you've triggered a thought in my brain.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. Now, the thing is, if people don't watch the Winter Olympics,
mm-hmm.
that's only going to hurt two groups of people. First one is the sports people, and I have sympathy for them. The second mm-hmm. lot is the sponsors. Now, the sponsors get payback, if you like, by people mm-hmm. watching the sport on the television.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't watch it, they're not going to get payback. And if they don't get payback, they're not going to do it again for Russia.
No, they're not. And what these sponsors need to be doing is having a word and saying, listen, what's up? Because they got the money to do it. I mean, there are people who just won't go there now. I mean, so athletes are a different story, and I'm not saying that. You know, every athlete has to look into themselves and decide what's right for him or her.
Yeah.
In terms of where they travel to and where they choose to compete and everything else. And I've got no beef with anybody that wants to go to Russia and compete in the Olympics. I've got no problem with that.
Well, no, and right, so they've probably been training for, like, half their life just
and
to get
the
there.
It's the pinnacle of their sport. It's the pinnacle event of their sport. It's
yeah.
the pinnacle competition of their sport. And I've got no beef with anybody who wants to go and compete in the Olympics. Like I said, they look to themselves and figure out what's right for them and then go. And that's – but their heart's pure, and what they're in it for is, you know, for themselves. And it just so happens that they're going to a country that's repressing all these people, which is really bad. But by the same token, like I said, they've got to look to themselves. The sponsors, on the other hand, I don't really care about sponsors. I'm not being sponsored by them, so why would I care?
Mm-hmm.
But they need to petition the government and say, oi, stop being blackguards.
Or worse to that effect.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But I mean, I really can't. I was actually discussing this with a bunch of the gay friends that you see posting all over my wall.
Yep.
I said, what we should do is because, you know, they say no homosexual behaviour. This is part of these laws in Russia. You can't have overtly homosexual behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do when the ice skating starts? Because...
Yeah.
It's really the most sort of homosexual sport that there is. It's all about me and my gay friends, Adam and Adam, actually. We were talking about this, and I said they should just put a big concrete fence around it like it's a massive jail, the arena.
Yeah. By the way, we've done something, Rach, because the crickets have started again.
Yes, I opened the door.
Oh, right, okay.
But I've closed it now.
Well, anyway, this would have been Lee's rant of the week.
Oh, yes. Look out, everybody.
What's
a load of rubbish?
Yeah, the UK snow threat. Not. The Met Office has warned of significant snow accumulations over high ground. They are talking about temperatures ranging from 2 degrees Celsius in northern Scotland to 6 degrees Celsius in southern England. That's like summer!
I was going to say, that's not... I mean, I know that I live in a really hot place, but that's not cold.
Rach, this is true. Last night when I went to Aqua City for my swim, have a guess at 6 o'clock at night what the temperature was.
You're in...
Slovakia, so I'm in the...
You're in autumn, aren't you?
Yes.
You're in autumn, so, okay. 4?
As the Slovaks say, dole, down.
Oh, 1?
Down.
Oh, -5?
-3.
There you go.
Six o'clock at night, it was -3, and they're worrying about temperatures getting to -1.
It's crazy.
You are wimps. You lot over
really
there.
Is, really are big girly blouses.
Yeah,
really
big girly blouses. But they seriously...
Right? Yeah, 11:15 at night. Do you know how hot it is?
Oh, you're going to make me sick now. 30.
32.
That wasn't a bad guess.
And the relative humidity is 94%.
Now, that's not good for me.
It's horrible.
That's change your T-shirt every 5 minutes weather.
Yeah, that's what Rob does. He sits there and we eat dinner in the air conditioning and he's sweating like I don't know what.
A little piggy.
It's really, yes, yes. And it's really quite... I mean, the man is just a big, huge hunk of bacon.
But he's riding a bike now.
He bought a bike.
Hang on. Can we just qualify? Let's have a go at Rob because we can't have a go at Lee. Are you telling me... He was showing off all over Facebook that he bought a bike and he's not using it.
$900.
How much?
$900 worth of bike.
Yeah.
Because Rob doesn't buy anything that's not expensive because he doesn't, I don't think he believes that it's as good as everything else.
Right.
And I thought, well, it's his money, he worked for it, he can spend it on whatever he likes. But it's been sitting here, it's even, do you know what? He even won't keep it outside, it's in the house.
What?
It's inside the house, in front of my beautiful bookshelving.
It's a hunk of steel.
You know, well, you need to get him in the pool.
I think we do. Do you know what I think we'll have to do? I'll just add this could backfire on me a bit, but I think we should get him on again. And we should have a weight off.
Oh, that's brilliant, because he knows he has to take weight off. Well, he's got to take weight off and stop smoking so much.
We sound like we should be brothers.
You should be.
Yes.
You should be brothers.
Yes.
He smokes too much and he's... No, when I say a lot, I mean a lot, like 60 a day a lot.
Oh, I'm not that bad.
That's terrible.
I'm not that bad. But I think we might have a weight off and give the money to charity.
I think it's brilliant. We can get sponsors.
Yes. I think we'll look at that. We'll work on that, boys. Boys and girls, would you sponsor us? I think that'd be good. I think we could do that.
I would.
But there you go then. Sad news, the last remaining Brit born in the 19th century.
Wow.
Has died at the age of 113. And it is sad. It is sad that Grace has died. Grace Jones of Bermondsey, South London, died in hospital this week after suffering a fall, just after her birthday, which was on the 7th of December. But it begs the question, Rach... Would you want to be 113?
No.
Because I don't.
This actually occurred to me the other day. I don't know why. I think, yes, I do. I was watching The Green Mile, this is why. And this whole, searching for eternal life and people trying to sort of turn back time on their faces and make, have a life that makes them live longer. And I thought to myself, living forever.
Mm.
Hmm. No, because it'd be horrible. Can you imagine how many of her friends she's watched die? All of them.
Yeah.
Watch her family die, having to bury your children. Although this lady didn't have any children. But can you imagine having to, outliving your children, outliving your grandchildren?
Horrible.
I just can't think of anything worse.
No. And we'd have to get up every morning and iron ourselves.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, good news for Rob, though, slightly in this story, because the death of the lady comes just after Ralph Tarrant died in October. He was 110 years old, and on his 110th birthday, I love Ralph, he revealed that he'd smoked until he was 70 and still enjoyed a glass of whiskey. That's my kind of man.
It really is. You know what? My ex-husband, his grandmother, she is now about 95, right, and drinks a long neck of beer every day and smokes maybe, I think, 25 cigarettes a day and has done forever. She's still got her own teeth. She can still hear. She can still see. She's got all the marbles.
Yeah.
And she's outlived, but she's buried her only son.
Really?
And I was thinking, and she hates it. She hates it. She said, all my friends are dead. My brothers and sisters are all dead. My family's dead. I've got all these grandkids everywhere, and now they're having babies. And she's just thoroughly depressed.
Yeah, I understand it. A couple of weeks ago, boys and girls, we sort of said on this program that the news that the USA was allowing electronic devices to be used on planes would mean that when the US shouts, everywhere else follows. You'll never believe what happened this week.
What happened?
The European lot have decided to relax plane electronics rules. Why am I not surprised?
I do not know. This is hilarious. It really is. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yes.
What on earth? Well, you know what's even more hilarious about this? It just goes to show you what the state of affairs is really up in the sky. Cool. I've got a friend of mine who flew to Baltimore the other day to compete in some gaming competition she's in.
Right.
And she was Facebooking from her seat on the airplane, saying, United Airlines, Wi-Fi, brilliant. And I thought, that's really actually very cool. And then she got to Baltimore and the internet in the hotel wasn't working and she had to go to McDonald's.
Oh, dear. It doesn't make you... Well, you know, the amount of times... I mean, I spend a lot of time talking to folks in the UK and they're on mobiles and I talk to my chairman nearly every morning when he phones me. I can talk to him for 5 minutes, then I get one out of every three words, then he goes, psst, down a hole, and then he phones me back 5 minutes later, he's come out of a black hole. And it just beggars belief, the way this sort of craziness comes in, where folks just don't realise what the consumer needs today. It's bizarre.
Exactly. It really is bizarre. And, you know, case in point, with, you know, hotel in Baltimore, you hear so much about how brilliant it is in America with the Wi-Fi situation being so cheap and being so fast and la la la, and you know, half the time it doesn't appear to be actually functioning.
Yeah, but this is going to hurt me as well, because Lee was right as well.
Oh dear.
Yeah, he was right. The changes are likely to please airlines that will be able to develop pay services for communications on board for internet-savvy travellers, which will probably cost you an arm and a leg. And I think the last time I went to America, it was something like $20 a minute to be on the internet.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Who needs to be on the internet that badly? Who needs to be on the internet that badly?
Me?
No one.
Me?
No, you don't.
I was checking my emails.
Not for $20 a minute.
No, I wouldn't do, actually. No. We were lambasting a little bit Miley Cyrus across the week. I'm sure where you were.
Yeah.
And this story is just so sad. There's a guy in the UK called Sir Cliff Richard. You may have heard of him. You may not. My sister's going to kill me for this.
He's a legend. Who do you mean you may not? That's crazy.
Well, some people might not have heard of him.
I don't know who.
I don't know, maybe. Anyway, Sir Cliff Richard was on the television and all in the press this week, and one of the things he was doing was talking about Miley Cyrus. Now, why am I not surprised again? Guess what Cliff's doing? He's releasing his 100th album. All of a sudden, it's gone over to you, to Miley Cyrus. And I'm sorry to say, but I think Cliff's people were using Miley Cyrus as a PR tool to link him to young people so that he can in turn sell loads of albums again.
Absolutely they were. They're trying to say, how do we make Cliff relevant? I know. Get him talking about Miley Cyrus.
I mean, I hate, you know,
as,
I hate
as soon as you Google Miley Cyrus and Cliff Richard, straight away this link's going to come up. So it's a pretty shrewd move, actually.
Did you see his calendar when he was 70?
No.
You didn't? You should look it up on Facebook. Well,
I'm going now.
The men should look it up and be embarrassed. At 70 years old, he still had a six-pack tummy.
What was it, his?
Yes.
It's not fashioned by anybody?
No. No.
That's horrid. He probably swims a lot.
Well,
we know he roller skates. He sang on roller skates way before Olivia Newton-John did. Brilliant.
Absolutely. where will we finish this week? Because we're running out of time. I think we'll do this one. The butt of all jokes.
I love this.
Yeah. A fed up Paul Allott. Funny how we both got the same sense of humour. Has moved from his home because he was living in Butthole Road. Living there as being a pain in the backside.
Oh, he's just asking on.
Just asking about, wasn't he? But the but I'm sure I've told you this before, boys and girls. In the UK, I was a licensed radio ham, so I could use all the ham radio kit in the car.
And I thought you meant a ham.
No, not that sort of ham, darling. The other sort. And you're not allowed to use any naughty words or anything like that when you're on ham radio. It's actually illegal.
Yes.
Now, I used to drive through this place on my way home and would always say to my friends on the 2 meter amateur band, I am just driving through Pratt's Bottom. Because there is a little village called Pratt's Bottom on the outskirts of London. And I was driving through it. And
you've got to say it when you're driving. It's like you have to say it when you're driving through there.
The funny thing was, some of the old boys got very upset with me and told me off. But as I said, it's Pratt's Bottom. Anyway, the new owner is a guy called Peter Sutton, and he's very happy with Butthole Road. He's actually a taxi driver, and he says, I think it'll be fun, and I know what to expect. A bit like this radio show, in some ways, I suspect. Anyway, that's where we've got to leave you, boys and girls. Don't forget, we have got the techie special coming up, so you can get hold of Rach, get hold of Lee, get hold of me with your techie questions. Maybe what we think is going to be the next lot of tech, which I'm already winding up Rob about on Facebook. I can't help myself. And with that, it's time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
And goodbye from me. Let's hope Lee's better next week. And we'll see you soon. Same time, same channel, same bat place, whatever you want to call it. Bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.